things that I did last week. But again, I want to talk about our position in Christ. Our position in Christ. And this, I want you to make a confession, and it didn't originate with me. Matter of fact, I'm not sure who coined this, but it is excellent. So make this confession with me. Say, by the word of God, life flows to my spirit. Come on, say that again. By the word of God, life flows to my spirit. By the word of God, peace flows to my soul. By the word of God, healing flows to my body. Why don't you give him praise for that? Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to do it here today, but you know, I could ask you to pull out, well, men usually don't carry mirrors, most men don't. Ladies usually do, they have one in their handbags. But, I could ask you, I'm not asking you to do this, but I could ask you to reach into your handbag, pull out your mirror, and open it up, look at yourself, and ask yourself, do you really know who you are? You know? Do you really know who you are? I recognize myself based on what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. I must know my position in Christ Jesus. I must know who he is to me and who I am to him. Am I right? Amen. 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 Now, I love this verse. I read it, these verses. I read it last week, and I want to read it again. Did I tell you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2. That's where we started from last week. And I'll just read a little bit. Beginning at verse 1. And you, I'm reading from my New King James Bible. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He's still at work in this earth. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others, just as the others. But God, everybody say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Everybody say, with Christ. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. I am alive with Christ. And what else does it say? By grace you have been saved. I am saved by His grace. And not only that, look at verse 6. And raised us up. That's what He did. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Hallelujah. I believe I'll stop. Well, let's read one more verse. Is that all right? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So as we've read the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2, it says a whole lot. And one thing it lets us know is that because we are in Christ, because we are in Christ, and Christ in us, because He dwells on the inside of us. Am I right? Of course I'm right. Amen. If He's not dwelling on the inside of us, we're not born again. Let me say that again. If He is not dwelling on the inside of us, we are not born again. That means we need to get saved. Isn't that right? Amen. So because He is in us and we are in Him, that places us in a totally different position than what we had before we got saved. Sometimes we miss out on so much that God has for us, even after we're born again. We miss out on it because we don't know what's available to us and we don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know who we are. Amen. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 2, the Word of God tells us, no, we're not, we're still on the earth right now, but we are also seated with Christ in heavenly places. Because let me tell you something. As a born again believer, just like that, the moment we leave this earth, because we're seated with Him in heavenly places, our spirit's going to depart and go straight to be with Christ. Because the Apostle Paul himself said to be absent from the body is to be what? When we leave this earth, our spirits are going nowhere else but home. Home. Glory to God. And so we need to be aware of that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're in Him. He's in us. And this earth, like it is now, is just our temporary home. But oh, glory to God, we have an eternal home. Now, having said that, Sad to say, but it's true. If an individual don't know Christ, well, when they leave this earth, their spirits can't go to heaven because they're not born again. But because we are spiritual beings, and the Bible plainly tells us that we are spiritual beings, and because we're spiritual beings, we can never cease to exist. Amen. We can never cease to exist. That's the reason some fallen angels right now locked up somewhere, because their spirits, because one day they'll be cast into the lake of fire, but because of their spirits, and they can never cease to exist. Folks that have died, the Bible says that they're going to hell. They're in hell. That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. Amen. They had to go somewhere because they're spiritual beings. Spiritual beings don't cease to exist. So a person that don't know Jesus, when they leave here, guess what? They're going to hell. But preacher, you shouldn't say that. That's not positive. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I've been called to preach the Bible, not what I think. Amen? Amen? Not what I think. But those that know Christ, when they leave here, their spirits going home to be with Jesus. So we can tell folks, yeah, I'm here temporarily, but one day I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Amen. No, you don't want to, well, you might say, well, glory to God. That sounds good. It sure does. But now here's another thing. Let's go, and I'm going back where I was, but I want to say this. You know, we got to stay in the spirit. We got to follow God. Now, the Apostle Paul had a yearning for heaven. You know, he had seen heaven and seen some things. But you know what he said? He said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, really, he said, I would prefer to be with the Lord right now. But he said, but because of you, I'm going to stay. In other words, it's the will of God for me to stay here and to continue to preach the gospel and to strengthen and establish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be excited about our future, but you should never want to check out of here early. Amen. Before you have finished what God called you to do. Amen. Is there an amen out here somewhere? Amen. Hallelujah. Because when we get to the other side and we're with the Lord, that is forever. This is not forever. Once we're gone, that's all we're ever going to do for the Lord in the earth. So let's have the mindset, I'm excited about my future, but I also want to serve my Lord while I'm in the earth. I want to fulfill my call. Whatever God or however God has gifted me, I want to make sure that I do that while I'm here. Therefore, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It may seem dark today, but tomorrow is coming. And what did I tell you before? Just because it's cloudy does not mean the sun's not shining. Glory to God. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So let's head on into our tomorrows because we are in him. And then when the final day come, or he catch away the church, we're going to be with our Lord forever. But I also want to hear him say this. Uh-oh, somebody helping me preach. Who said well? I should have known. but finish it. Go ahead. That's what we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want him to tell me, son, welcome home. But you know you came too early. Why are you here so soon? I had more for you while you were in the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, listen. We went here last week, and let's go again briefly to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Our position in Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, I'll just read one verse. Well, let me read three verses. Three or four. Keep on, I've read the whole chapter. But let's pick it up at verse 4. Revelation 1. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Seven or sevenfold spirit. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Glory to God. I'm so glad we are not saved by the blood of animals, goats and sheep and that, but we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at verse 6. He says, and made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, what? Amen. One more verse. Jesus says, he's speaking here, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Glory to God. So we can see and understand some of our position in Christ by reading that. Listen, he has made us, and I'm referring back to verse 6, he has made us a kingdom of priests. Or you can say it this way, a kingdom and priests, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father. Amen. The King James Version and New King James and I think some others says he has made us kings and priests. He has placed us in a position. And we are part of his kingdom. And because we're in his kingdom, we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. Abba, Father is a close relationship. Just Father is not strong enough. It's Abba, Father. A-B-B-A. Abba, Father. Father, Father. And we have to understand, according to Luke chapter 17, verse 21, we won't go there, but the kingdom of God is within us. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within us. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul tells us what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. We need to understand that. Sometime I think us pastors, and not just pastors, but ministers, do not preach enough on who we really are in Christ Jesus. Peter says we are a peculiar people. There's something about us that sets us apart. And it's the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The living God himself lives on the inside of us. And that sets us in a totally different position than we were in before Christ. You're still here. We talked last week about Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we won't go back there, but we also talked about the fact that our name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm excited about that. They know my name in heaven. They know who I am up there. Glory to God. I am not a stranger to the heavenly host, and you are not either, if you know Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now, let's go backwards a page or two to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. I begin reading at verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, isn't that a blessing? So now, the Bible tells us that in Christ we are kings and priests. We're in His kingdom. We're part of His kingdom. And authority comes with that. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't know if I get there today, but we'll get there. A lot of times when we think of priests, we think of ministers. When I say ministers, I'm talking about preachers and so forth. But the Bible says all of us have been made priests unto God. Well, one thing we understand is one of the things that priests do is go to God on behalf of others. It's not necessarily limited to that. It could be certain situations that we need to go before God. How many of you know that we have an audience before God? And God loves it when we come before Him. But before I talk about us, if I get that far, let's take a look at Jesus first. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our high priest. And I like to say it this way, He's our great high priest. So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read one verse and then I'm going to back up and read several other ones. Hebrews 10:21, and having a high priest over the house of God. Who is that? Who is that? Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. All right? So let's back it up. I don't want to just jump in the middle of this. Let's back up to verse 11. It says, and every priest, and here he's talking about the Old Testament priest, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Now, in the Old Testament times, you had the outer court, you had the inner court. And the priest did the work of the ministry in the outer court. But the high priest once a year would go into the inner court. With blood. Sprinkling blood because of the sin of the people. And not only that, for his own sins. No one was allowed in the inner court but the high priest. Anyone went in, they would die. They would drop dead because they were in the presence of the Lord unworthily. Even if the high priest did not cover himself, he would die. As a matter of fact, there would be a little rope type thing attached to the high priest, that stayed, it was long enough to that you could actually grab it outside of the inner court without, well, let me say it this way, without having to go into the inner court. Because if the high priest didn't do this thing right, he would die. And anyone that went in to get him would die. So what had to happen, they attached something to him. That way, if he weren't right and he died, all they had to do is drag him out without going in. That, what I'm saying is, that's how serious it was. Now, that's in the Old Testament time. And maybe we'll go cover this sometime in more detail. But I want to go somewhere with this. So, look at verse 12. But this man is Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. I'm so glad Jesus didn't have to come and die all over again once a year. It's forever. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, are you ready for this? Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You ought to shout hallelujah about that. Amen. That means you need to forget them too and move on. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Now listen at this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, we can go right on into the Holy of Holies now. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And this is where I'm going. This is what I read to you. And having a what? A high priest over the house of God. We have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Glory to God. And I'll stop right there for now. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Do you know when we give our tithe and when we give our offering, we're giving it to Jesus, our high priest? He is our Lord, he is our Savior, but he is also our high priest. Now, Are you still with me? Y'all still? Can you hang in there with me? That's just a little while longer. What does he do for us as our high priest? What does he do for us as our high priest? Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Now, I'll pick it up at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is also risen? Put verse 34 on the screen for me, please. Romans 8, 34. I want you to read this verse. On three, I want you to read it out loud. Don't be quiet. Read it out loud. You can just look right here. One, two, three. Say what? Say what? I said, say what? Jesus, our high priest, our Lord and our Savior, is at the right hand of God the Father in his high priestly ministry. What is he doing? He's making intercession for you and for me. Now, that ought to, a light bulb ought to come on. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the Bible says we're also priests. We're not high priests, but we're priests unto God. What should we be doing? Interceding for others. But I just want to drop that. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I wanted you to get that. And remember, what does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9? It tells us that we too are laborers together with God. Jesus is our high priest, seated on the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for us. Let me stop there. Sometimes we feel like things are so hard. We feel like nobody cares about me. This is not working. That's not working. Our Lord and Savior, our high priest, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You got somebody praying for you. You got somebody interceding for you. Sometimes you ought to stand up and boldly say, I'm going to make it because I know Jesus got my back. If what I need in my life lines up with his word, lines up with his will, he's got my back. See, let me tell you something. When we are praying for souls, the lost souls, guess what? Jesus got us, man. Oh man, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Y'all still, I'm trying to close this out. Y'all still with me, right? Glory to. But turn to John. This may be, we'll probably stop right here. Gospel of John, chapter 14. The question is, what should we be doing? We are kings and priests unto God. What should we be doing as kings or part of God's kingdom and priests unto God? We are to carry out the will of God in this earth. We have been anointed and appointed to carry out the will of God. Did you hear what I just said? We have been anointed. Let me say it this way. I'm going to flip it. We have been appointed and anointed to carry out God's will in this earth, because we are a peculiar people. We have a mission. We have a purpose. And our purpose is not just to get saved and then kick back till we die. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 14. I just want to read this to you. Jesus is speaking here. He said, verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do," wait a minute. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do," is this in your Bible too? "He will do also." Uh-oh. "The works that I do, he will do also," listen to this, "and greater works than these he will do." Why? "Because I go to my Father." Now listen to what he says. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." If you ask anything in my name, what did he say? I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Let me read on for a little bit. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," glory to God, "that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells where? With you, and right now he's in you." Now Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was letting them know, now he dwells with you, but he's going to be in you. Today we can say, yes, he dwells with us, and he's also inside of us. And he went on to say, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Let me tell you something. We can perform our priestly ministry in this earth because we have a helper. And Jesus, seated on the right hand of God the Father, has our back, and all we need to do, whatever we need, we just ask the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus says, "Yes, Father." Glory to God. That's the reason. I'm closing now. That's the reason when I lay hands on someone that's sick, I lay hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ, not in my name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me? Because he's the one that can back it up. He's the one that causes it to get done. Jesus changes things. When I'm praying about personal issues, things that concern me personally, I approach the Father. Listen, I approach the Father in the name of Jesus. There's a song they used to sing in the old church. Don't ask me to sing because I don't know. I just remember a small part of it. But it says, Jesus is my lawyer. Jesus is my lawyer. And he's pleading the case for me. Whatever I need, ask the Father in my name. Ask the Father in my name. And too many times, we only ask for what we need personally, but we need to ask on behalf of others. We need to intercede on behalf of others. Jesus said, the same works that I do, you're going to do them also. He says, I'm going to be with my Father, and I want to tell you something. You'll do even greater work because I am sending you another comforter. He was talking to them that's with you right now, but one day after I'm gone, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not only is he going to be with you, he's going to be in you. When Jesus breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Ghost, them folk got saved then. Y'all believe that? Amen. Yes, they did. They got saved. But Jesus said, tarry in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. And let me tell you something. You don't have to beg the Holy Ghost. You don't have to beg God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He came and he's still here. All you have to do is receive him. If you want to be born again, receive him by faith. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, receive it by faith, because God's already given it to you. Amen. That you can go out and represent him in power. Amen. With power. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus said we'll do greater works. I haven't seen any greater works. Well, maybe you're in the wrong place, or you need to go back to the Word of God, because you're part of the greater works. You in that number. In closing, I want to say this. Jesus said, we, the believers, are the light of the world. If you're saved, raise your hand. Amen. Keep your hand up, and I want you to say this. I am the light of the world. Say it again. Amen. Now, I don't know where your light switch is. Is it on dim or is it on bright? I want to challenge you to turn the switch up. Turn the switch up. Shine brighter, because Jesus already made you the light of the world. You have been made kings and priests. We're part of a royal priesthood to go forward in the name of the Lord, doing the work of the ministry. Now, I didn't finish, but let me just say this. Another ministry of the priests is to give praise and honor to God, to magnify God. Oh, you're still here. Amen. Glory to God. I better quit. I think I've been going too long probably anyway. But I want you to study, go back over these verses, study them, and say, Lord, help me and show me how I can shine brighter for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for choosing us to represent you in this earth. Thank you, Father, for trusting us to carry this precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what an honor. What an honor. We thank you, Father. Help us to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. May we never become discouraged and quit. Let us never satisfy the enemy by quitting. But let us glorify you by pressing on. Pressing on. Pressing on.